And you just gave him an applause here and welcoming them, but let's do that again and give him a big welcome.
People who eat together.
You don't know it?
Stay together. Once again, people who eat together. One more time. People who eat together? Okay, so I'm going to stay with you for the next couple of hours in here, okay? And then we'll eat. It is an honor and a privilege to be here again and with my family. As you know, I want to remind you that I live in a home with five women. I cook, I vacuum, I iron, I do everything in the house. yes. So I'm the hero of the house. So I have a personal mantra regarding the applauses, and I'm thanking you for this. Each time, and I have a theological approach to it. This morning, I want all the glory to go to God, and all the joy to stay with us. All the glory to go to God, and all the joy to stay with us. So I'm going to share with you this morning, and I'm supposed to use this tool. I hope I'm not going to throw it to anybody. I will speak about a subject that in the last 6 months with the Ukrainian war was very upfront in my life, and it was very revelational for me. Left, but not lost. And there is a discussion Jesus had with his disciples, and of course Peter. Sometimes I think I could be Peter in the Bible. I'll be the first one to ask for a reward from Jesus. Matthew chapter 19, verses 27 to 29, the Bible says the following. Peter answered to Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? What is the reward for following you, Jesus?" And this is what Jesus replies. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And I'm happy it didn't end here, because it won't include us very much. It's only 12 chairs, right? But the rest is for us more than the first part. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit what? Say it loud. Eternal life. Amen. We are here with a group of Romanian students and teachers from our kids' school. It's a trip that was planned in 2019. This is part of my vision in life and passion is to inspire the young generations and go back in our country and change that country with very rooted in communism 45 years. So part of the group is a 71-year-old gentleman. When I saw him on the list, I was like, "What is he doing here? 71? High school?" He was coming with his granddaughter, and I talked to him, and I said, "Why do you want to come to America and listen?" He said, "I was born in 1945 when Russians conquered Romania. My parents' land was taken away by the communists. We've been persecuted for our faith and our convictions. And since I was a child, I listened to Europe Free radio channel and prayed to God that before I die, I want to walk on the land of freedom in the United States." And he said to me, "This is the reward of my life." Since he came in here, he just cries of joy, tears of joy every day that he walks on the land of freedom. And he said, "It's a reward for me." So we like to live a life based on rewards, right? You get good grades, you get a candy, okay? So Jesus, I was a good fellow of you. What do I get? I like rewards, okay? I remember when I was a child in communism, the only reward we had for our very, very hard working every day was a meal. A meal? So I think the apostle Peter, the disciple living under the empire, the Roman Empire, he had the same feeling like me in communism. He was probably the least rewarded person as a child. And now he has Messiah in front of him and he says, you know what? It's time to do a theological return on investment lesson. We've been following you. We left everything. We left. Are we lost? And Jesus said, no way. You left everything and you are rewarded. So what Jesus actually says is, if you dare to have the courage to leave everything for me, I will come to you with a reward. You have left everything, Peter, and I come to you with a reward. The highest the risk is, the highest the reward, you know it. Wow. The highest the risk, the highest the reward. And Jesus says, if Peter, you will be persecuted for your faith, but if you embrace that, I will release the reward to you. 100 times on this earth and even more eternal life. So, when the war started in Ukraine, both me and Lavi were just instantly guided by the Spirit of the Lord to jump in and help. So how do we help? We just got in our car and drove 5 hours to the first border area where Ukrainians were coming in. Family was very happy. They said, no risk. It's fine. It's just war. Don't worry. No, all our friends said, we're wondering why you're still in Romania. Why don't you go to America and move in America? I said, because it's time to stand up in this historical crisis and take the risk of helping people, of saving lives and rescuing vulnerable people. So we drove. To the Ukrainian border, minus 10 degrees. It was such a volume, massive volume of refugees coming, mostly women and children. And we realized there is a high risk for us to be there, but never doubted that we have to be there. The highest the risk, the highest the reward. If you dare to risk for Christ, to stand up for your values, He will come to you with His rewards. You risk, He rewards. You risk, He rewards. So I looked at this war and I said, I'm so frustrated with the current situation. Politically, I can only watch the news, okay? I can't do anything. But I will embrace the whole reality from a theological perspective and hand in hand with God, rescue lives and bring the light of hope in many lives. So I encourage you to embrace theologically the reality in America, the reality around the world, and things you can't change humanly, hand in hand with God, impact lives and destinies. The higher the risk, the higher. You're still with me, I'm glad. Not all of you, but hopes toward the end more. So we started helping refugees, bring them into our city, feed them, treat them medically, and send them to their next destinations. And then I get a phone call from Ukraine. A former colleague of mine from university, he calls me. He's in the city of Chernivtsi. 400,000 people live there, and 1 million people are there because 600,000 refugees are there. I was shocked when I saw them in the city. All over on the street, in tents, apartments, homes, 1 million people. So I told my family, I will go to Ukraine. And everybody said, yes, awesome. I told our friends, told our church, and they said, are you crazy? And I said, yes. Why are you asking that? I've always been this way. The higher the call is, I'm there because I can't do it alone. And I need God. That's why I like it. My adrenaline goes really up in big crises to find solutions, not to run away. So we load a whole lot of goodies. So we go into Ukraine. I go with my brother-in-law. We arrive in Chernivtsi. Is a food center there. They collect and take in all parts of Ukraine food to refugees. I was so humbled by the courage of these people. They have a church van that has two bullets in it on the way delivering food to Mariupol to 500 people. And you have there in the back, at the end, you can look at the pictures. With your resources, at that point, 500 people received amazing humanitarian aid, and they survived a serious famine that time. These people, they took the risk on side back roads. They created their own structure of roads so they could not be caught. They will drive through the night. They will change the drivers, change the cars, so they get with the produce to destination to the people. They take a huge risk. I said, why do you do this? And one of them said, faith in Christ, an eternal reward, pushes me to do it every day. The higher the risk, the higher the return. If you leave everything and dare to stand up for your values, God, Jesus Himself, will come to you with His own rewarding. And His bag is not empty. It's filled with rewards. So, Peter asks Jesus, we have left everything. What's the reward? And he gets what's the reward. This is the disciple approach. Then we have the refugee approach. I struggled a lot to understand and find a way to communicate with these people. And I imagine being a refugee. I won't ask Jesus, I left everything and follow you. I was going to ask Jesus the following question. I lost everything. Where are you? So how do you share the gospel with somebody that lost everything? There are three ways I've learned. One is in the Bible. James says, faith without deeds is dead. Francis de Assisi has a very interesting quote. He says, preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. And of course, I need to quote George Washington. I'm close to Washington, right? One of his life mantra was, deeds, not words. So I realized that taking the risk to rescue their lives, feed them, the vulnerable kids and women who cross thousands every day in Romania, it will be the bridge that will build and get to their hearts with the light of hope, which is Christ. So, speaking of bridge, I want to show you the bridge. It's in the middle. That's the bridge of desperation. And the first day I went with Lavi there, we stopped at the edge of the bridge and we started praying and say, God, transform this bridge. Make this bridge the bridge of hope. These people do not know where they are going to go. This is the bridge that crossed the Tisa River from Ukraine to Romania. And once they leave that bridge behind, their life is completely changed. I haven't seen in my entire life so much pain, so many tears. I think we could rebuild the whole Mississippi River out of the refugees' tears. One day on that bridge, we see a little girl. She's carrying a little ponytail, a pony. It's torn apart. It's a little blonde girl. There she is. Oops, go back. Panyashka, that's how we called her. She and her mom, very fragile people. They walk that bridge and she holds the little pony torn apart in her hands. And Lavi turns to me and says, "We will take them home." And we did. Her mother, listen, they walked the last 10 miles through the forest with a 3-year-old daughter. They traveled from Kiev to this border, 48 hours, 5 different vehicles, through the forest, backside roads. Her husband is a pilot in the army. He's still alive, praise the Lord. It's one of my prayers, is to go to Kiev, take the daughter to the father, and celebrate peace. So she walks the bridge. We invited her to come with us. And she said something that really struck me and Lavi. She said, "Since I saw both of you, God told me you are the angels. He's been telling me in the last 10 miles walking that are waiting for me here. Go without fear." And I came, just one bag in her hand, and start life over. We had them at our house for days. Now they live in Hamburg. They went to relatives in there. But she said, "You are the angels. God told us you will come and help us." The same day, I had a scary experience. I don't panic very often. Family will say the opposite. But that day, I panicked. Here is why. She's Anna. She's a Muslim. Her husband left before the war, left her with the 2 kids in Ukraine, and started a new life in Austria, in Vienna. As she walks the bridge, again, the bridge, nobody looks at them. Because they have the Muslim look. And again, I look at Lavi, and she looks at me. And in harmony, which is not always the thing, sometimes it's the opposite, like with punctuality. I am always on time, she's always on her time. And she says, "That's God's time." So whatever. So Anna comes, and she, one of her sons is 11, the other is 16. He has a severe form of autism. Nobody looks at them. They are ignored. So we talk to them, and she barely speaks English. Praise God for Google Translate. I think the owner of the inventor of Google Translate participated in Pentecost Day in Jerusalem. I was very I have my muscles are hurting me after talking to refugees. But she speaks a little bit English. So we invited her, said, "We'll take you to our city, we'll feed you, we'll treat you." So she agrees. So it's Panyashka, her mother, and Anna and her kids. We're 15 minutes into the driving when her phone rings. She answers, and all of a sudden is, I mean, really bad. I look at Lavi and I say, "Honey, what's going on? Who is she? Are we going to die?" I panicked. So after 15 minutes of she stops and says, "I hope I did not scare you." I said, "No." She said, "It was my husband. He said, 'Where are you?' And I told him, 'I am with very nice Romanian people in the car.' And he said, 'Stop the car, leave the car. They're going to rape you. They're going to steal your money. Romanians are gypsies. No, leave Romania. They're scumbags.'" And I told him, "You're an idiot. I met the nicest people in the world. I was, for 2 days before she left our city, I wanted to share the gospel with her. I've never done it with a Muslim. So when we're in the train station, I asked Anna the permission to pray for her. And she said, "Sir, not only I let you pray for me, but I want to pray to your God, because in 2 days he showed me love through you." Yes, 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 yes. We have our refugee community in all Europe and all Romania. We know about them, and Anna says, "Your God is love. That's why I'm here." They left, but they are not lost. You have left everything for Jesus, and you are rewarded. The higher the risk, who eats together? This was louder. Let's do it the other way around. Who stayed together? Ah, okay. So faith without deeds, it's dead. Phew, I have two more stories. These are very intense because I lived them on the ground. Again, the higher the risk, the higher the return. So is it customary if I go down here on the aisle? I'm not going to go to the airport. I'm just, I just want, the light is too bright for my Romanian face. We get a phone call one day. There's a lady we met from UNICEF, and she said, "I'm in trouble." And I said, "Me too." She said, "We have 73 orphans in the Dnieper area. They need to be evacuated, otherwise they will be bombed. I have information, they will bomb the orphanage. Are you helping us? Bring them to Romania." And I said, without anything, asking anybody, I said, "Yes." Close the phone to Lavi, I said, "Yes." And she knows. She says, "Yes, you did 23 years ago. "No, no, honey, to a different cause." So we drove 12 hours, and this is the interesting story. They started the trip from Dnieper, 63 orphans and 10 caregivers. They changed three trains. They the kids 6 months to 12 years old. 6 months! 15 kids, 6 months! It was true the next day. They bombed the orphanage. But the bullets did not get to the kids. It was empty. Praise God. So we drove. So this is the caregivers. We drove 12 hours to the northern part of Romania, border with Ukraine, in Siret, to welcome the kids. And they're still there in a big facility. We showed up at midnight. We took them a whole truck of goodies and gave them money to have food ahead. It's even hard sometimes to put in words what I saw there. They had to hide the kids twice on the way, three trains, 72 hours. And one of the caregivers, I'll go back. Yes, Pastor Jack did a very good instruction on this instrument with me, so I can use it. So the caregiver, so imagine is the picture should be the other way. So just imagine that, okay? I don't know what happened when I sent a PowerPoint on the way to America. The two ladies leaned. I don't know what happened. So anyway... So we give them a lot of things, from food, clothes, medicine, even a washing machine. The kids all are alive. They're there. The TV stations are coming and doing reporting. It was a successful operation. Praise God. God deserves applauses now. You're with me. Oh, I forgot to tell you, if you don't fall asleep, you eat. So this lady next day comes to Lavi and she just starts crying and says, in the darkest moment of our lives, you are God's light of hope for us. We are saved because you took the risk to help us. It was a whole group of people helping, saving lives. And people tell you, why do you do this? And we tell them, not because we don't have anything else to do, but because we believe in God's love, and we believe He's sovereign, and He can rescue your lives and give you eternal life in the end. You left, but you're not lost. You're cared for emotionally, physically, spiritually. I haven't met so much drama in 6 months, condensed every single day. So they're all alive. Everything is good. I got another phone call one day, and this was devastating call. There are many refugees that don't come into Romania. They don't leave Ukraine, but they find villages across the border, and they stay there in refugee camps. So we took supplies to a refugee camp of 5,000 people. I get a call. So these are some of the kids. I'll just go back to one picture. Imagine them traveling 72 hours. But they're all good. Oh, I love them. We wanted to take them with us home. They're just jumping on me. We invite you to come and see them. So that's the trip to Ukraine. And, they welcome you with a bulletproof vest. They said, you need to wear it if you want to come with us in the city. And I said, I will. And I did. So this is my folks there. Oh, bless their hearts. Say it loud for them. God be with you in Ukraine. Say it yourself. It's for them. They're there in the front line. So we went to the 4,000 refugees in one place in Ukraine. That was an adventure. And Lavi came with me. She said, I want to come. And I said, oh, I wouldn't think about it. Of course you want to be in the action. Of course. So we went together. And I have to tell you that nobody knew. Our kids didn't know. The family didn't know. Just a very few close friends knew we went to Ukraine, both of us that day, but we wanted to go and help the refugees. So 4,000 people. Look at the conditions they are in there. Again, the famous bridge. I never believed giving some food to somebody can create so much joy. So much joy. They were lifting every single box up, like doing workout. They said, we're so happy we have food to eat. So this gentleman and this old lady here, he is from Bucha, where the massacre was. Part of his family were killed in the massacre there. When he sees me, I ask the translator to tell them that I want to pray for them. I believe in God. God will help the Ukrainian people. They are not alone. God will take care of them. And he just walks to me, a little bit kind of mad. And I'm like, he hugs me, holds me like this for minutes, and starts shaking and crying. And he said, I lost family in the Bucha massacre. I need God's love. I couldn't say anything. But you will receive God's love. And he was holding me for minutes. He needed a hug to be loved and feel secure. Told you my hands are sorrow. Speaking and hugging. The old lady there. She's running like, oh, ah. So, okay. She speaks English. She's 82 years old. And she left Kharkov,
at the age of 82. She's crying and saying, I left everything. I have nothing to go back. My village is bombed. But she says something to me. Today, seeing you, I realize the mission of my life is fulfilled. God told me that my mission for the rest of my years is to pray for God to send His angels to bring supplies to Ukrainians and save our country. And when I saw you, I was dancing in my heart saying, God's mission for me is fulfilled. You are His angels. And she was praying with us. So your resources were the response of the prayers you and I had no idea about. The needs are growing. The resources are lower. I invite you to continue. So our goal was to reach out to 1,000 people. We reached out to almost 5,000 people. Almost 5,000 refugees. Now you deserve a round of applause, but only my family does it for you, okay? In the name of Ukrainian people, the highest you gave, the highest rewarded you will be. The more you'll give, the more you'll be rewarded. No amen yet? Let's hear a big amen. Amen. Amen! It's not only about money, it's about giving your life, giving your energy, give up Facebook. That's part of it too. I realize that's the highest risk today is to ask a teenager to turn off social media for a day. Even for me, it's sometimes hard. So anyway, all these things are possible because God's grace and your faithfulness. And we continue, and our goal is to reach out in the next year to 10,000 that live in tragedy. This is the refugee camp of almost 5,000 in Ukraine that we went there 3 times. Still need the help. Don't quit. And one more thing. We met Muslims, we met Ukrainians, we met Italians from Ukraine. And I met a Nigerian from Ukraine. And I will close with this. His name is Solomon. He came from Nigeria to escape the civil war. And he goes saying, I met another war. He married a Ukrainian, they have 2 kids, and they left Kharkov right before the order that the man cannot leave was in place. They came into Romania, we didn't know about them, for 2 days. They were hosted in a monastery in the middle of the mountains. A monk monastery. Somebody called us saying they're in danger. They need to be rescued. It's a strong, solid Christian family. I'll tell you the detail about this. So we get the address. As we went to the border, we wanted to pick up different refugees. And somebody told us they need help. And nobody has the courage to go there. And I said, I'll go. I'm fine. So there's this big door at the monastery, and I open the door, go with the car in, Lavi's with me, and I see these young monks coming towards me, pretty mad, and they say, what do you do here? And I said, I want the Ukrainians right now. I could be mad as a pastor sometimes. And they're like, no, they don't want to go. They want to stay here. They want to work here for us. And I said, no, I don't think so. So I pushed the car. I said, move. I want to get to their place. Move. And I shouted the name, Solomon! He hears me. He just runs to the van. Jumps in the van. And the monks are very, very, very angry. They don't have anything... their hand to hit me, and that's praise God. So this, the whole thing was 2 minutes, and we left. And they were, I bet they were cursing me big time. Solomon and his wife in the car, we found out he was the worship pastor of an international church in Kharkov. And when the war came, their church was bombed. And he said, I think I lost my mission in life. I thought I'm abandoned in the mountains. When we came here by train in Kiev, I wanted to go to Warsaw. And my wife said, there are too many people taking the train to Warsaw, and it's only 10 people who take the train to Romania. Only 10! And she said, if only 10 go there, I want us to go there. And she said, again, God told me I prepared the path for you. So they did, and they were determined. This is the fun part. They were determined to go into Germany, to Munich. And I just felt from the Holy Spirit telling him, don't go there. Stay in Vienna for 3 days. And I put him in contact with people there in a refugee center, people I knew they were taking care of. And I said, somebody will call you. I don't know who. A cousin of his from Ireland, a Nigerian cousin, finds out that he's in Vienna. He calls him and says, we need a worship director at the International Church in Ireland. He's there now. Amen. And he said, Adi and Lavi, God saved our family because you had the courage and you took the risk to come in the mountains and face the anger of the people there. And I worship God. And he said, I pledged to serve you one day in your church because of this. The higher the risk, the higher the return, the reward. So if we are to do a theological return on investment today, it is what I give is what I receive, not what I keep. What I give comes back to me, not what I keep for me. We have left everything, Jesus. And we are about to leave everything to follow you. And if we dare to do that, you are going to reward us. And how else can we end but with the words of Jesus? In Matthew says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and inviting you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these refugees, brothers of mine, you did it for me. Here is the reward. Whatever you leave behind for God's love, He will come back to you and reward you. And God has a full bag of theological candies, I call them, to reward you. And in the end, with eternal life. Whatever you have left, it's not lost, but rewarded. Whatever you give and don't kept is going to be rewarded. And if you lost something, you are not lost. God will reward you and will say to you one day, welcome, good servant. Welcome, good servant. And now, enjoy 4th of July celebration with food, because people who eat together. Amen. Thank you very much.